about the Messi thing.
Anything else on the Messi front, Chris, before we move on?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm falling out. I told you, I never want to bring this guy's name up again.
I don't know, man. This Messi thing is just a freaking mess. What a disaster.
I don't want to hear this name ever again until it's official. But they got me back.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 183 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
Whoever put money on sleeveless, you guys won. You guys won today. You guys won today and the rest of the week. Thank you guys for hanging in tight, waiting. Guys, like I mentioned in the chat, if you haven't already, give us some support on the Batter Marlins fans channel. It's a good listen for sure, guys.
Yeah, we had a good trip down memory lane, talking a lot of old players, old horrible trades. But again, we're not going to talk baseball right now. So yeah, we are doing our preview show, and this is kind of like a blast from the past. We haven't done one of these in a while. And nothing. I'm wearing the shirt of the Kings of Europe. What do you mean?
He's just wearing the shirt of the Kings of Europe.
That's it.
That's all it is. That's all it is, guys.
So we have, over the last year and a half, we've been doing preview shows with the opposing team's podcaster, or reporter, or whatever. I'm getting a lot of boos in the comments right now.
No, you're done. You're cooked. Cooked.
And we can get into the game also if you guys want at the end of the episode. You made me say, oh, well, okay. So, but for some reason, it's almost impossible to find somebody from Montreal. And we were looking back, and we haven't been able to find it's not worse than the Knicks had. We haven't been able to find a Montreal guest since the beginning of last season. So we're going to go back to 2022 when we used to do these preview shows by ourselves, which is fine. It's just they're a lot more insightful when we have the opposing guys. But, you know, we go ahead and we'll do our thing anyway because, we can do it. It's just I think that it's a lot more insightful when you have the opposing teams, either fan, reporter, podcaster, whatever it may be.
Well, I think, look, for the most part, us as supporters of Inter Miami, and we bring an insight to a team that maybe other fan bases don't know of, right? Or mm-hmm. don't know much of. And so that's why we have these guests from other teams that cover them, that are fans of them, because they're passionate about their team. They know it like how we know Inter Miami. So why not get these guys on here that love their club, that love their city, that love their team, and get the most information, but not just blabber blabber. It's literally information like how we give it for our team. And thanks, Danny. You just got Alejandro to unfollow us. Good job there. For those of you in the audio, Danny is wearing what it seems to be a horrific set of gear. Well, I mean,
hey, it's okay. Look, you know what? Before we get into the preview, I just want to make a comparison for everybody. Okay. The hate that Real Madrid gets, and everybody's like, oh my God, Real Madrid always, the referees always, everybody wants Real Madrid to win always. They can only win because of the refs. You're an Inter Miami follower or fan right now.
Don't get it.
Welcome. Same shit. It's the same shit. Everybody, Inter Miami. Oh my God, Inter Miami. The refs, everybody likes them, blah, 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 blah. I'm used to it. It's okay. It's Inter Miami either. I'm sorry, Real Madrid either loses or they win because the refs helped out. That's it.
You don't listen. I mean, you really just want to get in the quicksand right now.
Oh, I'm digging my heels in, motherfuckers.
Well, anyway. I wanted to bring up a starred message that I have here. Stancy's asking, Chris, do you cut all your shirts to be sleeveless? That's a great question. Yes, I have a special pair of scissors that for a sleeve shirt, I will cut sleeveless at some point in time within its future.
And Lucho Lalo said, refs helped out nasty.
We'll cover it later, guys. Guys, let's not let Danny get into this. I'll get into this.
I'm okay with this. Let's go. Well, no, we'll wait till the end. Because some people are here to talk into Miami and not Champions League. Which, by the way, there's only one La Liga team left in Champions League. So just a reminder out there. All right. So this weekend we have FC Montreal, and it almost feels like it's been a revenge. It feels like it's almost been a revenge tour, because we've only lost to two teams all year. We got our ass kicked by the Red Bulls. We got our payback this past weekend with that 6-2 win. The only other team we lost to this year was FC Montreal. And we're going to get our payback this Saturday. Right? Now, we're going to get into the stats and all that other stuff. But real quick, before we do, what do you think about the fact that we are going to go ahead and go visit some of our former players? Because I know that you have love for a lot of them.
Well, I mean, this is the matchup that we've all been waiting for, Danny. It's Messi versus Lassie.
I do, Tony. I associate him with Real Madrid.
Guys, this is the matchup of the century. Messi versus Lassie. Ariel Lassiter. Or it could be the matchup of the century. Our 10 versus our old 10. Bryce Duke, baby.
Well, Bryce Duke, for those of you that aren't aware, Bryce Duke was a young kid that came from the American Barcelona Academy down here. And promising. He ended up, and he signed with LAFC. Then he came over to us, and we really thought he was our number 10 of the future. Obviously, we didn't realize the big things that were coming eventually. But we thought that he was our number 10 of the future. We were really hyped about Bryce Duke, and then we let him go. And it was for allocation money. It was over a year ago. I don't remember the details. But I remember we were really upset about it, because we really thought that they gave up on Bryce Duke, and he was going to be a baller. And he went to Montreal, and he's done okay. He hasn't necessarily shined like we thought he might, but he's been solid, I suppose.
He's had his games every so often here and there. Because remember, Danny, I don't know if maybe I remember it incorrectly, but around the same time, Pozuelo didn't re-sign, right?
Correct. So but we thought that Bryce Duke would take over.
Yeah, we thought Bryce Duke would take over, but then obviously Messi was lurking in the background, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's like, ooh, what are we doing with Bryce Duke? Bryce Duke, Bryce Duke is Pozuelo. I saw him in a balcony on top of a, doing cycling on a freaking cyclist, a bicycle cycle, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it ended up getting dealt where Pozuelo never signed. Bryce Duke got dealt for a lot of money. And we ended up opening that up for none other than the world's number 10, Messi.
The greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
Bryce Duke has played 9 games this season. How many goals do you think he has?
2.
0. Remember, for those of you who don't know, we had high hopes for Duke, but he was one of the worst finishers I've ever seen in my life. If you ever want to see a horrible penalty kick, go back to the U.S. Open, Orlando versus Inter Miami. Penalty shootout 2022. Worst taken PK in the history of PKs, Bryce Duke.
Look it up, guys. You guys will not regret it.
And then how many assists do you think he has so far this season?
No, that he's got I think he's got two or three.
0.
Wow, really? I could have sworn I saw him at the end of an assist for sure.
He's played 9 games. He started 8. So, I mean, the team overall sucks. But
it does. Yeah. It does. And then so you have other players like Joseph Martinez, who wore the pink also. He's been getting limited in minutes as well. He's sitting behind other strikers. He's, I believe, at this moment injured, if I'm not mistaken.
Joseph is injured right now.
Their whole striker core is destroyed.
Yeah, Garro's also their two strikers are out. So they have no striker coming into this game on Saturday. So, they're not looking good as far as strikers go. What do you expect to see from – look, Lassiter coming down that left side. I think I like the way – I've heard some people poo-poo on Chelo, saying that maybe he's not the best upgrade from Yedlin. I think they're crazy. Maybe he doesn't – he's not wild. Giving you a lot offensively. But, I mean, defensively, I think he's much better than Yedlin. And I think Lassiter is going to get locked down that side with Chelo covering them. So
well it's funny because in the early part of the season, Lassiter was playing a left wing back position, and then in the recent couple games they've thrown him up there sort of at the striker slash left wing position. So I think they're starting to gradually put him in the position where we saw him familiar with us, because he was playing like a left wing back. His speed is you can't doubt his speed.
Right.
You can hate on his accuracy all you want, Danny, but his speed is pretty top notch.
Yeah. No, and he had a nice assist this past weekend. But
he had a banger a couple weeks ago. A banger.
Again, I think Chelo has been doing great. So Montreal just came off. They had a draw in the Canadian Champions League.
Which against Forge.
It's like the U.S. Open Cup. And then they lost to Nashville 4-1. Now, when you see that
juggernaut.
Right. When you see that Nashville is putting up four goals on somebody, you know that defense is struggling, because Nashville is really poor offensively. So that was rough. They drew against Columbus, 0-0 draw. They drew against Orlando City, 2-2 draw. They beat Cincinnati. They lost to the Sounders 5-0. They lost to DC United 1-0. They lost to Chicago 4-3.
They're a dumpster fire, is what you're saying. Yeah. A complete dumpster fire, just drenched in gasoline. And we're going to poo-poo on them. We're scoring 10 goals minimum, right?
Well, and then just to remind everybody, the way the first time we played them, we were losing 1-0 for the majority of the game, right? They scored early, like everybody does on us. Yes. And then Campana scored in the 71st minute. We were tied 1-1. Everybody, and it was at home. It was at Chase Stadium. We all thought we're going to get out of here with at least a draw. And then I don't remember off the top of my head. Maybe you have a better memory, Chris. They scored two goals back-to-back, 4 minutes after the Campana goal and then like 2 or 3 minutes after that. And that was game over. Yeah. Jordi Alba hit a banger after that from outside the box, but it was too little too late. We lost 3-2. That game we shouldn't have lost. The Red Bulls lost. I accepted it. We got our asses kicked. That Montreal game, we should not have lost. But we lost. It is what it is. But we have a chance for the redemption, and it's a revenge game, I think, because just like the Red Bulls, we're going to get this one back also.
Tariq is asking in the comment, thank you again, guys, for hanging in with us. And Tariq, thank you for the super chat, the super slam. Hey, fellas, I have a question for you. You always mention other sports and even have channels, but which sport holds a place in your heart the most?
I'll let you start, Chris.
Well, I mean, I'll start with basketball. Mm-hmm. Basketball is the number one sport for me. I love playing basketball. I've watched basketball ever since I was a little kid. Unfortunately, it was the New York Knicks that I fell in love with, which now it's not that unfortunate because we got that 2-0 series lead, baba. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that. I won't get too gassed, but that's my sport.
And for me, it's actually American football. American football would be number one, and football or soccer, if you want to refer to it as soccer, would be a very close second. So it would be American football and then soccer right there.
Listen, Joe Kerr, I've mentioned on the podcast before, I can tell you right now, I think that for sure in an NBA game, I can score 6 points. I could score 6 points in an NBA
game. Chris swears.
I could score 6 points in an NBA game.
You know how small you would look on that court next to everybody?
Put that on the house. Put the house
on that. You'd look like Muggsy Bogues out there.
Put the house on that.
Oh, my God.
Put the whole house.
You're delusional, sir. And just real quick to answer this right here, Chris plays basketball. Surprisingly, yes, he does.
Sometimes.
But he's a showboat.
You can't be basketball can't be fun if you're not showboating. You have to have fun.
Yeah, I've played with him. We've played on the same team. He gets upset when I try to set a pick for him.
I don't like that stuff.
I know. All right. Anyway, we're getting off topic here. But we appreciate that, Tariq. Get a batter.
I've been asking for this, Mitch. Danny doesn't want to give it to me.
No, Mitch. All right, for those on audio, Mitch said, let's get a battered hair onto basketball day. Chris was trying to – he wanted us to organize a battered hair onto basketball game.
Yes.
And I said, Chris, how are we going to do that before we ever organize a battered hair onto soccer game? Like, you would have – you would have figured that we're gonna go football or soccer before we go any other sport, since we do a soccer podcast, Chris.
I suck at soccer though, so like it's not gonna be that fun.
Oh, I'm because he wants great. To show off.
No, it's not because I want to show off. I want to play something that I'm decent at.
Hmm. All right.
Anyway, who knows, guys? Maybe we'll do a soccer game. We'll bring Solana. We'll bring a bunch of people, and it's fucking game time.
Let's do it. And right here.
I actually, Hammy, it's a good thing you mentioned this. I actually played a game with Solana, recorded it. I have it saved in my PlayStation, but I only hear the audio from myself. I have to figure out how to do it where you hear the audio from the other person. We tied the first game, and then he whooped my ass in the second game. So I don't know if I'm going to put that up, but we'll have to see. So let's get back to the football talk, Danny. So we got CF Montreal, complete dumpster fire, right? They've been on a losing tide streak for a mighty long time, but this is going to be the revenge game, okay? I mean, at this point, there's no way that they're going to do any good in this game, right? Their defense is atrocious. You give it up. You give up four goals to the offensive powerhouse that is Nashville FC, right? You tie with Orlando. I mean, Orlando, you guys suck big balls. You give five goals up to the Seattle Sounders, followed up with a red card. You had a red card two games earlier than that against the Chicago, where they posted up four goals on you. I mean, we're scoring at least 8-9 goals in this game.
I mean, I know that everybody seems to be very gassed after scoring six goals last week. Like, we'll really gassed.
We'll do it, Alejandro.
But, I mean, everybody's like, oh, that's it. We got to score like five or six this weekend or it's a disappointment. Relax. It's like, I'm sure Montreal is going to figure like, okay, we don't want to get our asses kicked. Let's play a low block. Let's press them high. Like, they're not going to go. Could they? I'm not saying that they can't, because obviously they have the players to do it. But I'm not going out there and being like, oh my God, if they don't score five or six, that is disappointing. Because that seems like to be like what everybody's experiencing.
I think, but I mean, Danny, what are you expecting out of this game? You got their front line completely depleted. Lassiter is going to be their starring force up at the top.
Well, before we get into predictions real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into predictions, but I'm just kind of leading into it where it's like, what's expected here?
Well, Montreal, real quick, they have literally take the second least amount of shots in the league. They have goals scored. They have 12 goals scored the entire season. And I want to say that, I lost it.
I'm not there yet, Trukutu. I don't think we're getting a clean sheet this game. I'm not there yet.
No, yeah. They have 12 goals all year, but they've allowed the most goals in the Eastern Conference, third most in the league so far this year. Now, the way that our offense has been clicking, I would assume that we do have a chance to score a lot, but we will not have Toto Aviles.
Yes, and it's a good thing that you transitioned to that, because Sounds 123 is mentioning we won't have Aviles, right? Which is true. He's out for what, yellow card accumulation? So he's not going to be available, but we're going to have either Sergei Kristoff or Saylor playing back there. Or like what Xavier Labo said on the last podcast for Battered Herons in Espanol, said we might be seeing some Ian Frey, baby. I heard that. I was watching you guys live, even though I wasn't on there. That kind of turned me on.
So I was looking, and the worst defense in the league, in the Eastern Conference, is Montreal.
Yeah.
Inter Miami, they've played 12 regular season games. In half of them, they've scored at least three goals. This offense is starting to click more and more, obviously, right? We scored six last game, four against New England, three against Nashville, three against Sporting KC. That was the last four games. In the last four games, we have 16 goals in the last four games. So I would assume that we are clicking in a manner, in a way that a bad defense can't contain us. So I do think that we're going to put up goals. How many? I don't know. I think if you score three goals, that's a good game. Like, people are starting to expect, like, oh, we got to do five or six. Like, three goals is a good offensive showing. Four goals is a good offensive showing. But, you know, people are starting to get a little greedy, which I get it, because we're playing against a poor team. But
and we have Messi.
All right. Well, I have a question. Do you think this is a trap game?
I mean, it's absolutely a trap game. I mean, this is...
Because we have Orlando on Wednesday.
Correct. Yes. So I don't know if maybe Tata's play is going to be like, well, let's just put out all the backups against this team, still walk away with a win, probably 2 points or something.
No, you can't do that.
What do you mean you can't do that?
You got to make sure you win. You can't play. I mean, you can't leave it up to chance.
Okay, but my question is, do you think that you'll win with Taylor, Campana, and I guess we'll get into the starting lineup in a little bit, because that's something I want to touch up on, because there's some comments that are being made here. But
I mean, look, I know Orlando isn't that great, but they drew 2-2 with Orlando. They drew with Columbus. Now, I'm assuming Columbus didn't play their full squad because of Champions Cup, but they drew with Columbus. I wouldn't necessarily take this too easy.
I mean, Arya's saying right here, how is it a trap game? They both suck.
This is a prototypical trap game because you're gassed from the performance from last week. So you're overlooking, just like the fans. They're like, this game it's a walkthrough. We're just gonna like chill. Like, this is gonna be that's the prototypical trap game where you're completely like already thinking past your opponent, and especially when you have a rival, right? Like their rival, whatever.
A rival, yes.
On Wednesday, just 3 days later, so you can't necessarily play everybody 90 minutes, even though they might, but you have to be prepared for Wednesday's game against Orlando.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that, though, Danny. You're also talking about the fact that even if Orlando is playing poorly recently, to expect that they're not going to amp it up for this game, I mean, you can't sit here and expect that Orlando's not going to just gas it up.
No, they against have to. Us.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, they got this thing circled. Like, there's people in purple all over Orlando that are literally waiting with bated breath to watch this game, to play this game. This whole team is just dying to play this game.
You think they're looking forward to it? I think they're scared.
Oh, my God. I think that they're looking
forward to it. After losing 5-0, no, I think that they don't want to get embarrassed.
I think that they're looking forward to it more than you believe. I think that all Orlando fans are delusional. I think that they believe that they're going to beat us.
You see this? Oops.
And Vice City is saying, Orlando Crybabies not allowing us to bring flags next Wednesday, Crybabies. What? They're not allowing you to bring flags?
Is Orlando the biggest disappointment in the league right now?
I think Orlando is the biggest disappointment in life. You don't even have Disney World.
Because
Kissimmee has Disney World.
Because they, so many people were predicting them to win the Supporters Shield.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But so back to Montreal.
No bad.
So you
no
don't flag. Think that this is a possible trap game?
I do think so. I do think it's a trap game. I think that it would make sense to play some of the starters, some of the stronger players in the beginning, and then get them off at halftime. Hopefully get the lead and then just get them out of here. Get them out of here. Bring in your Ben Krems. Bring in your backups. Bring in your Sailor. Bring in your other guys. And let the main guys rest the rest of the game.
Okay, so let's get into the starting lineup. So I'm going to put up the starting lineup from this past week. Now, we have what is a very normal saying, equipo que gana no se toca. So, now, unfortunately, Aviles won't be playing. So that you have to do. So let's start with Aviles. Toto Aviles, who would you start over Aviles since Aviles isn't going to play?
Well, one comment I forgot to bring up. Somebody had mentioned in the chat about Freire, right? If we're going to replace Freire with Ian Frey, I think that other than Aviles at this very moment in time, Freire is the other lock at the center back position. So I think that he's going to be a lock. I think he's starting. Freire is starting. And I think that Kristoff, just because of the solidarity that he has on the ball, is going to be the other starter.
Okay.
So, and a lot of I don't see Saylor starting over him.
I don't see Saylor starting either. And some people might think I'm crazy, but I honestly think that there's more of a chance of you seeing Noah Allen than Kristoff.
Ooh, that's a little damaging. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the only thing I could tell you is somebody mentioned Kristoff and Alba are coming back. I'll tell you right now, left back, guys, he's not coming back.
Well, okay. Well, that's what I want to get into after the Aviles talk. But so yeah. Aviles, Kristoff, you think? I think Kristoff also. And if for some reason not Kristoff, I think Noah Allen. And then Freire moves right. I do not think that Saylor starts. I just don't think Tata likes him. I think he might come on as a sub. Since Kristoff is coming back from an injury, I don't think Kristoff plays the full 90. He might come in as a sub, but I don't see Saylor starting.
Oh, but this is something that makes a lot of sense here, though. Freddy Diaz is mentioning something that I've seen in a lot of games. When Freire and Kristoff play, Freire gets pretty fucking pissed. Sorry, I got to stop cursing.
I didn't realize that. Maybe
I've seen that. On video Freire completely verbally demolishing Kristoff, and Kristoff is just like, "Look, man, I'm a machine, bro. Get out of here."
Luckily, Montreal has no offense, so I think that Inter Miami will be okay. And we'll get into the prediction talks. And a lot of people are saying possible clean sheet. So I'd love to get into that also. But okay, so we think Kristoff over Aviles. All right.
Center back covered.
Right. Jordi Alba supposedly might be healthy for this game.
Supposedly.
Right. Allegedly. Now, my question to you, would you start him this weekend?
Absolutely not. Why?
I agree. Exactly.
Why? We have not only is he a serviceable backup with Negri, but he's a better than a serviceable backup. He was a starter for us. Why would I risk injuring Jordi Alba against the CF Montreal team? There's no way. That's the worst idea ever.
I think Negri's played well enough and especially against Montreal, that you don't have to rush him back. Rush him back, bring him back. For the Orlando game, right?
Absolutely.
I'd rather have him for the Orlando. Yeah, and he'll get fired up for sure. I'd rather put him for the Orlando game and let them ride out that game than putting him for the Montreal game. So I'm with you.
I wouldn't even start. I wouldn't even put him on the bench.
No. But I think he will be on the bench, though. So Kristoff, okay, for Aviles. Then we have... We said Negri over Alba. Maybe Alba come in for the last 10, 15 minutes just to get warmed up a little bit for Wednesday's game.
Possible. I mean, you know, I was thinking about that, right? Like a lot of people are like, oh, bring him in the last 5, 10, 15 minutes. Like, is bringing him in the last 5, 10, 15 minutes, is it really going to like give him the little boost of like, oh, now you're game ready? Like if he doesn't train hard enough in practice.
It's not the same. What if hypothetically, we're only winning 2-1? I don't know if people are gonna be like, "What do you mean? We're gonna score like 100 goals." But what if we're just winning 2-1, right?
Yeah.
And you want to secure a victory, you want to add another goal. I think that having Jordi Alba there for the last 10, 15 minutes wouldn't be a bad idea.
This is a comment I want to get to. Alejandro taking Gressel out. We're gonna get there, Bobby. But I don't know. I don't think that bringing in Alba in the 82nd minute of the game, down 2-1 is...
Up 2-1.
Up 2-1 is going to make a big difference. I really don't think that we need firepower against Montreal.
I think Alba links up better with Messi than you realize. It's like a thing of beauty, the way those two link up.
I mean, I guess, but like, I don't know. I think that we'll be able to have enough power and enough force generated from the other players where we can be able to put some balls in the back of the net against this team. I mean, the only good player that I see in CF Montreal is, what's this guy, Waterman? Waterman's been the only one that's been like a solid defender on their team. Everybody else has been garbage.
No idea.
Yeah, he's the only one that I've seen.
All right, so calendar, obviously. I think we're all in agreement with that. Then we have Weigand. We have Freire. We think it's going to be Christophe and Negri. So that's our back line. Midfield, it's going to be Busquets. Alejandro, I'm sorry. It's going to be Gressel. Okay, it's going to be Messi. The right wing is going to be Suarez in the striker position. So that leaves the two left spots.
Look at what you're freaking
The left doing. Midfield doing, and left bro. Wing, okay? Now, my question to you, will Matias Rojas come off the bench again, or will he take either David Ruiz or Robert Taylor's starting spots?
My question is, do you think that it is fair to say that Gressel needs a break and that maybe putting Matias Rojas there and giving Gressel the break to be on the bench is better than taking out David Ruiz and or Taylor? Because
why would Gressel need a break?
Well, because, I mean, has he been doing well?
Because he's the only one that started literally every game this year.
Okay, but statistically speaking, expectation-wise, nobody has been super happy about Gressel's performance.
Let me tell you something real quick. My father watches this show, right? My father is the one that brought me into soccer, right? All that other stuff. So I talk football with him. And he said that I'm too harsh on Gressel.
I think you are a little bit.
He says that Gressel isn't as bad as I keep saying. And to that point, when we were doing the podcast on Monday night, Batter Hands in Espanol, Solana and Xavier Lavoz both were telling me Gressel isn't as bad as you say.
Yeah.
So I think I have to take a step back and reevaluate things. Because apparently, and even though the chat seems to be with me, a lot of other people are not. So I'm going to take a step back from my Gressel hate. And I need to start fresh. Tata obviously sees something that he likes in Gressel. And Tata has, like I say all the time, forgotten more football than I've ever learned. So
I just want to clarify one thing, though, Danny, and everybody in the chat. I'm not saying that Gressel is garbage. Dennis, he's telling you, Danny, your pops, tell him that Gressel is garbage, vomit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vomit emoji, throw up emoji. And I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I'm not saying he's trash. What I'm saying is that he's been funky lately.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, people have been too hard on him. And considering the people that he has around him, his expectation is very high. But he's been playing a lot of minutes for this team. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's played the highest amount of minutes for this team.
If
he's not number one, he's got to be within the top three.
He has to be number one because he's the only player that's played every single game.
Yeah, and so I don't think that he's trash. And Jason L is saying Gressel is doing good. A lot of people hating. I think, again, like I mentioned, Jason, I think the problem is that he has so many good players around him. He came in with a very high expectation. He is very talented, especially when it comes to crossing the ball. And so one of the issues that's going on is the expectations and the performance are not necessarily matching or not being consistent, I guess, enough. So I don't think that it would be a bad idea to have him play less this game. But if he starts, he starts. And if he does start, then I see David Ruiz off.
The only players that have more minutes than Gressel are Aviles, which it'll change after this week if Gressel starts, and Busquets, and obviously Drake Callender because he's the goalie.
Wow, Busquets, very surprised. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean he's been playing a lot too.
Busquets is an iron man. I love Busquets.
I would, but again, if you're asking me if Gressel, if Tata wakes up and says I'm gonna stop loving Gressel, then I would say Gressel bench. And then you got Rojas on the right side. Or if Gressel starts, then you got Rojas on the left. David Ruiz take the bench and Taylor staying on the field.
Well, let me try to think of positives for Gressel. A positive for Gressel is that he's a great crosser. He showed that in the last two games. Beautiful switch of play from the right to the left. He is patient.
Yeah.
He's an experienced player. He's patient, but offensively, he isn't great. And if you are expecting him to finish, because I know Trukutu said he can't head or shoot the ball, that's not what he was brought here to do. In no way, shape, or form was he brought here to finish. He cannot finish, and it's never been more apparent than the last two games, where he's had two opportunities and he's shanked them both. So he's not there for that. He's there to just be a steady rock in the midfield. Now, my issue with him is that he sucks defensively. And I think for Busquets to have the freedom to roam and play his position as to his best ability, he needs somebody who can defend. That's why David Ruiz is good next to him. That's why Gomez is great next to him. That's why Redondo is great next to him. Gressel doesn't give Busquets that because Gressel can't defend. And I don't think that Matias Rojas isn't necessarily a defender either. So putting Matias Rojas on Busquets' left and Gressel on Busquets' right, what exactly are you doing there? You're not giving Busquets the help that he needs. He needs somebody that can cover defensively, that can cover his back. And I think with that, with taking Ruiz out for Rojas and leaving Gressel in, I think that you really kill Busquets' ability to impact the game. So that's my issue. And I think if Rojas starts, which I don't think he will, but if he were to start, I think it makes more sense to start him for Taylor instead of David Ruiz, because I think the midfield and Busquets specifically would suffer drastically with that.
Well, and I want to mention, before I get to the topic we're talking about, Mitch is saying, give Chelo a break. Ruiz at right back. He worked at DC. That's not a bad idea, but like Chelo, I don't know what kind of break he needs.
I don't think he needs a break. And just for the record, you know, Robert Taylor's played a decent amount of time at right back also. So if they want to get cute, they could put Robert Taylor there also. But Robert Taylor is even worse defensively than Gressel probably.
Yeah, but he hustles. So I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that. And he plays soccer. He plays football. That's his life. Yeah. Now, as far as like the what you mentioned with having Rojas and Gressel on each side of Busquets, I think that's a disaster. But if there's any team you want to try that against, this Montreal team might be the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And Alejandro is saying, you got to slow down, Danny. We're about to lose you to ESPN.
I wish. So I don't think Rojas is going to start. I think Rojas a few times.
Look it up, Marengo. He played a few times at right back. We're not smoking anything.
No. I wish we were. Well, you know what? I take it back. It might have been right wing back. It might have been when they were playing with three in the back. I don't remember if it was right back or right wing back, but I promise you he has played wing back at least. So I think that Rojas will not start. I think he'll come off the bench again. I think eventually they are going to put him in the starting lineup, but I don't think it happens this weekend. I would keep David Ruiz and I would keep Taylor up top. So I think the only changes to last week would be the forced change for Christophe over Aviles. And that's it, right? Because we said Negri would still play over Alba. So I think that would be the only change.
And that's only by default, Danny. It's only because of the yellow card accumulation that Aviles has. Because if it wasn't for that, he'd be starting. And we'd be seeing the same exact starting lineup for this coming week. The only difference is that I do think that a lot of these starters need to come off fairly quickly after we get like a 7-goal lead.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just going to keep lighting it up. I'm going to keep putting the gasoline on there.
I know. Are you going to be disappointed if we only win like 2-1?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to be extremely disappointed.
Okay.
Is
there a chance that we win 2-1 and everybody starts saying Tata out?
You know what? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, especially if he like keeps some of the players in. Messi falls and starts favoring his
calf and not that. I'm talking about just the fact that they just went 2-1.
Well, and Stancy saying I'll take a win, however it comes. Aria saying a win is a win. 3 points that matters. Listen, you know what matters more than 3 points? 3 points that come with 10 points on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And AZ saying, no, that won't happen as far as like what you mentioned.
You know what I kind of hope right now? And this is just me being a fire starter, a shit starter. I kind of hope we win 1-0, and it's like an own goal that Montreal scores. And we just win 1-0. I kind of want to see everybody's reaction. Like Messi, go ahead, corner, and then the Montreal defender hits off his head, goes in, and that's it. We win 1-0. I wonder if Messi gets an assist on that. Does he get an assist on that? The way MLS does it, they'll give it to him. They'll give him an assist. And we get 3 points, no injuries, but we win 1-0 off of an own goal. I'm kind of curious as to what the backlash would be. Like, oh my God, this team sucks. Ah, la, la.
Lost all offensive prowess. And that would be terrible.
Give me no injuries and 3 points, I'm good. Yeah, but I'm here for the win. Everybody wants the show. I mean, I look, the show is cool.
Oh my God, you're so boring.
The show is cool.
You're here for the win. You don't want goals against the worst team in the Eastern Conference.
Of course, I want goals, but you're like, oh, I would be disappointed if it's 2-1. No, why? We win. That's it.
You guys are being way too nice with this. 3 points and 3 points. I'll take it. I'll take that. You guys are being way too nice. I want at least 7 points this game.
Goals.
We posted up six. Yes, 7 goals. We posted up 6 last game in a half. I'm expecting at least 7. Mitch, you're on. Listen, Mitch, you're on it. Nah, I want to break records. Mitch, I co-sign that. I want at least 3 records broken tomorrow in this week with this weekend's game.
Back to two episodes ago, we were talking about the breaking of records. We can't slow up. We have to keep scoring all those goals in order to break a lot of those records. Yeah. So, I mean, in that aspect, I suppose. All right.
I look at Time Money before we get to the prediction, says there needs to be a shirt in the store that says Hala Miami.
Ooh, I like it. I mean, the problem is?
And burned.
Yeah, this is the problem. Unfortunately, a lot of new fans came to Inter Miami, but the majority of them are all Barcelona fans, and they can't separate, you know, the Madrid from the Messi. Like, it's Visca Miami. Ooh. You see,
a lot of you guys in the chat get the show, so like you guys will be, you know, nice about it, but then we're gonna get like the first timers that watch. And Mitch is asking, please don't make that.
Visca Miami, I like that. I might make that. Visca Miami, that one people might actually buy. The Hala Miami, I'm gonna make it and I'm gonna send one to who is the person. I'm going to send to the only Madrid supporter on the chat right now. So that one person gets a free shirt and everybody else can buy the Visca Miami one. All right.
So prediction time. Do you want me to get my prediction first here, Danny? Or are you dropping dimes out here?
Sure, I can go first. 100%, I think we win. As much as I would love to predict 5 or 6 or 7 goals or some ridiculous stuff, because I've been hearing some crazy stuff over the week, I don't think, and it's only because I can't imagine that a football team can keep up. Those shirts are coming. I can't keep up that rate that they've been playing at, because at some point, a team has to be like, you know what, we're going to buckle down and just park the bus because we just don't want to get embarrassed. So maybe they do it. I don't know. I can't imagine them putting up 5, but I do see them putting up at least 3. So I'm going to say 4. Now, I'm sorry, 3. I'm going to say 3. My question to you, does Montreal get on the board? Because it seems like we always give up a goal and we always give up a goal first. And then we go ahead and do what we do. Yes, I was hyped. When we made it past the first 6 minutes last game, I was like, oh, shit.
We didn't concede a goal.
We didn't concede a goal.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to concede a goal for sure. John Paul is mentioning 4-1 Miami because we will concede in the first 6 minutes. I'm liking Rome's prediction a little bit, to be honest. Rome is predicting 32-2. I'm totally with that. But you know what? I'm picking up a pattern here. Everybody here is saying 4-1. Skrill is saying 4-1. Juki Juli is saying 3-1. AZ Rebellion saying 4-1. Dennis Lopez is telling us, book it. Clean sheet calendar will be back. I don't know. I'm not ready for that one. I'm not ready for the clean sheet just yet. I don't think it's coming. I don't think that we're going to concede the first goal, but I feel like there's going to be a moment where we probably feel like we're so owning the game that we're going to slip up and Lassiter's going to get like a banger.
Oh my God, will you stop with the Lassiter shit?
I can't wait till he scores so I can just text you and be like, your boy scored, bro. He didn't miss the pole.
I promise you, Drake leaves with a black eye this game. Drake leaves with a black eye this game.
If there was a bet that you could make that Ariel Lassiter would hit the post, would you make that bet?
No, he hits defenders and goalies in the head more than the post. Yeah. I'm telling you, book it. Lassiter will find a way to blow a goal. But you know what? I think we get a clean sheet.
You're kind of throwing away any shot we have of getting Lassiter on this episode, on this show.
Well, I told you, I don't want players on here.
It doesn't matter. Now we can't get Lassie back. Mm. Good job there.
Chris, you said that the last time we played Montreal. This is true. I think we get our third clean sheet of the year. That's right. We have two already. It was the first two games of the season. We had a clean sheet against Real Salt Lake and then the 5-0 against Orlando. But I think we get a clean sheet. Kinemaki needs a goal. AZ Rebellion.
Yeah, Kinemaki for sure does need a goal. And I'll tell you this much. I think I'm going to give you my prediction right now, Danny. We're going to score at least 9 goals this game. We're winning 9-1. That's my serious prediction. I can't make a serious prediction, Danny. 9-1. We scored 6 last game. How off am I against this team?
This team, again, I know Columbus was rotating heavy, but they went 0-0 with Columbus.
It's not that crazy, Malco.
Let's see. Well, let me go back to see their recent games.
Freddie, I'm being very serious.
Cincinnati scored 1 against them. The Sounders scored 5. DC United scored 1. We only scored 2 on them last time. And Luis Suarez played. The only player that we missed there wasn't it just Messi?
Correct.
And we only scored 2 on them. Like, it's not like people would be putting up, well, Chicago put up 4. I don't know.
Yeah, Chicago put up 4.
9 is kind of wild.
9 is actually not that wild. I'm looking at the starting lineup that we put out. We had the 3-5-2 garbage. That was the game that David Ruiz played right back, right wing back. We had Sunderland starting in the midfield. Campana and Taylor were playing up top.
Yes, Suarez subbed in.
Correct. Suarez subbed in. Busquets subbed in. Freire, Borjolin, and Diego Gomez subbed in. No Messi. We just scored 6 goals last game, Danny.
I think we went 3-0, man. I'm sorry. 3-0. I think that's going to be the final score, and I'm going to be happy with it. Honestly, and I will tell you, I think that's what's going to happen. What I would be happiest with is Messi getting an assist on an own goal by Montreal and it going just 1-0, winning on an own goal. That's it. And I just want to see the chat just explode on Saturday. I want to see Twitter explode. I think that would be hilarious. But no injuries. Get that dub and leave Canada. Didn't we have some interesting Canada sound bites?
We did. We did. I don't know where they are right now.
Fuck Canada. Fuck you, buddy. Fuck Canada.
There we go.
There goes the
curse. I didn't realize what it was. I just said Canada. Okay.
It's South Park. It's South Park. Who cares? Alex Rivas with a bold observation. 9 might not be too wild. 9 might not be too wild. 6 were scored in a little more than 45 minutes.
I think 9 is wild. Nine as well. Look, the Red Bulls is just—it was just an avalanche. I don't think that happens very often, man.
I can't wait.
You know, that's the first time in Messi's career he ever has five assists.
That's surprising. That's
something that doesn't happen. Yeah, this is something that just doesn't happen.
I don't feel the 10, Yuki Juli. I don't feel it today.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't feel it. All right.
Well, and then real quick, let me just Mitch is saying six was scored on a better, more annoying defense. I don't think it's so much the Red Bulls defense, it's their pressure trying to get out of the back. Once you get on the counter, I mean, anything can happen. I don't think that Montreal plays that way, so it's going to be difficult. And yes, we're at this point, we are gas bagging crap.
No, we're not.
I was about to close it out. Go ahead, Chris.
No, we're not gas bagging just yet. Hammy, before we started the show, asked me a very good question. He asked me, Chris, and I'm going to put the comment up here before we started the show. Give us one free 145. Hammy, right now is that moment. Do you see what Danny's wearing right now? It's 145 for him right now.
Well, since we're going to gas bag, just real quick. The UCL, I wish I would have put up the picture. I have a question. Chris, have you seen the controversy with the Real Madrid Bayern Munich game?
No, I didn't.
So what happened? I'm just going to explain it to Chris real quick. Bayern Munich winning 1-0.
It was a little tap-in or something.
Well, Real Madrid went ahead and they scored twice in the span of like 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It was like the 88th minute and like the 91st, 92nd minute. Then they gave 9 minutes of extra time, okay? At that point, Real Madrid is winning 2-1. They give 9 minutes of extra time. By the time the 13th minute comes around, right? So they gave 9 minutes. We got to minute 13, right? So 4 minutes over. They had a long ball, and they called it offside. Now, the biggest issue here is that the referee blew the play dead once the flag went up. You're supposed to let the play kind of play out, right? And then after they score the goal, then you're like, oh, it has to come back.
Yes. So
what happened was they blew the whistle. They blew the play dead. So Real Madrid's defenders stopped defending.
Yeah.
And then Bayer scored a quick, easy goal. So that's the issue. Now, everybody's looking at the picture. And everybody's saying, oh, it wasn't offside. A couple things. One, and the chat, because maybe my Danny, I see something that says Danny's shirt is worse than Chris's empty wall. All right. My question to the chat, right? Because maybe you guys can educate me. Does a hand keep you onside? Right? Because Rudiger's hand was extended, and that's what kept the guy onside. And if that's the case, then he was onside. Okay? I'm not sure if a hand or elbow keeps you onside. If the hand doesn't keep you onside, then his shoulder was offside. Okay, that's my question for the chat. And his shoulder would have been offside. If it wasn't for that hand, his shoulder's onside. If the hand does keep you onside, then he was onside. Okay, so to me, if somebody can clarify that. Okay, and look, Tony, I said no, hands don't count. Because if the hand doesn't count, then he was offside. Because his shoulder was leaning forward, he was offside. Okay? But besides that, the fact that the whistle blew and everybody's like, oh, but see, they scored the goal. They scored the goal because Real Madrid defenders stopped defending. Like, he wasn't going to get that kickoff that easy. And on top of everything else, if he does score that goal, they still go to extra time. It's not like Bayern Munich was going to win in extra time. Everybody's like, oh, Real Madrid, always. They win the same way, always. Come on. But again, you guys are rooting for Inter Miami now. So you're going to see what it's like to have everybody hate you. It's fun. It's fun to have everybody upset when you win. It's fun being the villains. That's why it's so fun being a Real Madrid fan. That's why it's so fun being an Inter Miami fan. And I appreciate the love in the chat right now.
And one thing I want to mention here is somebody had mentioned in the chat, Trukutu mentioned BN Sports drew their own lines after the game, Danny. It was not offsides. Tony Axe is saying, so shoulder is fine, but anything below shoulder doesn't count for offsides.
Okay, so Rudiger's arm didn't keep him onside then. And so I think it was offside if that's the case. Because he was extended. Okay. But like I said, Soccer Daddy, you're going to love being an Inter Miami fan. It's fun. It's fun being hated. It's fun because everybody's really upset when they keep winning. I don't know if you guys can count the stars up here.
Oh,
there's 14 of them. There's going to be 15 very soon. Oh, so
that's it. We need to get out. Abandon ship. Abandon ship right now. You just hit them.
I know. I hope everybody knows how we could just have fun. We're all here rooting for Inter Miami anyway.
So. Yes.
All right. But go ahead and Chris, any final words?
No, man. This was a fun episode. We covered the team and the expectations for this Saturday. Luckily, we're playing against a depleted Montreal with 1.5 people playing the striker position. So we're going to be good to go, baby. This Saturday, expect a 9-point game, a 9-goal game.
Miami is loved by multiple fan bases, even MLS regulars. You know what? Last year, this year, it has completely flipped. Yeah. We are the villains. Nobody likes us. We are the Real Madrid of the MLS. Sorry to break it to you. All right. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5-star comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And for those of you that are in the chat, I appreciate the love for me being a Real Madrid fan. Don't worry. I won't wear this again until after they win the championship in a couple weeks. So back to black and pink on Monday for the post game. So please join us for the post game show when we're celebrating that that 9-goal victory that Chris just predicted. And that's it. All right. So I hope you guys have a great night. And until the next one, have a good one.